the day we got born again, we were born into the promised land. You live based on what God has said. You carry it in your spirit. If He has said it, it is true. Your joy, your fulfillment, your mood is independent on happiness. So we don't live based on happiness. We live based on God's will. We live from the inside. Let your heart be established in grace. You are a mobile temple. Prayer is allowed anywhere, anytime. Sito keto, moti kate, rito kopoto keta, zudeke ponde kidede. Christianity is a display of divine essence, true men on earth. You see, when spiritual hunger gains the ascendancy, gains the dominance over your mind, you don't even see anything as sacrifice.
So as you grow spiritually, you generate a potential difference. And that potential difference will bring to you the monies you need, it will bring to you the people you need, it will bring to you the necessary materials you need to fulfill your God-given calling on the earth.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our lives are not the same after this service. The hand of the Lord is strong and mighty upon us. Amen. To Jesus be the praise forever and ever. And God's people said amen. All right, let's get into God's word briefly, then take the communion. What a good God we serve. Are you bored? Rather, you're in the spirit, right? He that spared not. We've been talking on arise and gather, for the price has been paid. I hope to wrap it up today, but if I can't, we'll finish up next Sunday. Arise, gather, for the price has been paid. He that spared not his own son. All right, can we read it together? I think it's to help us be more alert. Romans chapter 8 verse 32, in case you can't see the screen. Romans 8, 32. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. I'm going to say three things to note from that scripture. Number one, with him. Number two, freely. Number three, all things. So these are the keys to that verse of scripture. With him, he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We said he could have said, how shall he not freely give us all things? He added with him to assure us that, listen, everything we'll ever access is going to be because of the sacrifice of Jesus. So he's with him. Hallelujah. Never forget that. That everything you ever need or want in your sojourn on earth has been paid for. And the price is the sacrifice of Jesus. So at whatever point, wherever you may get to, I don't care where you are now or where you are going to be, whatever the need is, whatever the desire, the want is, a price has been paid. It's called the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. Very important, and it's important we have our eyes on that. All right, we journeyed so far. We started talking about how to gather. The first thing we said was the communion table. The cup of his blood that we take and the body that we break. We said it's one of the ways we gather what Christ has procured in his burial and resurrection. Everything that God intends for us to have, which is available in Christ, we can access it at the communion table. And the next thing we said was the words of your mouth and the pictures in your heart. But we started talking about the pictures first before we spoke about the word. And I believe that was where we stopped last week. We got into prophecy. Let me add this quickly, talking about the words of your mouth. We said nobody ever got better than the quality of his words. And that is at the level of affirmation and confession. I differentiated it for you. Nobody ever got better than the quality of his words. If you find a Christian who is talking anyhow, you have seen a Christian whose prayer life may not work. Because I told you that what you say affects your prayer work, your prayer life, or the results that should come from your prayer. Meaning, a believer who doesn't think there's anything wrong with what he says, who has not put a guard, a watch over his mouth, may not have a fruitful prayer life. He is praying and praying and praying, but with his mouth he's destroying the answers to the prayer. And make sure you are not caught there. Don't be found there. Don't be found there. Put guard on your mouth. How do you do that? The word of God on your lips. You first make a decision that I will say nothing except that which is according to God's word. I will not voice my experience. I will not just say what I see, what I feel, what I hear. I will say the things that have been approved from scriptures, from the word of God. It is key. It is key to a consistently victorious life. You know what the Bible says in, I believe it's James chapter 3, verse 10, I believe. He said, he that love life and will see good days, many days. He said, let him refrain his tongue from speaking guile. Can you see that? That means if you love life, you want to see life. You want to see good days. You have to be careful what you say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One of the things I'm very careful about as I teach God's word is de-emphasizing a truth because I'm trying to emphasize another truth. You know, there are people that talk about faith or the corresponding action of faith. And because they are talking about actions of faith, they say things like, it's not just about talking. It's not just about talking. Talk is cheap. And I told you last week that talk is not cheap. It is empty talk that is cheap. Come on now. Talk is not cheap. Only empty talk is cheap. When you put excellence, life, love, glory, wisdom into words, they are not cheap. Are you listening? You can live completely on words. Completely. In fact, this is how we're designed to live. Completely on words. On the words that we speak. Never forget, your mouth work will always be superior to your hand work. Meaning with the work of your mouth, which is your speakings, you give value to the work of your hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Do you know that most times the first corresponding action of faith, and sometimes the only corresponding action, is the words of your mouth? Are you aware? Quickly give me Colossians chapter 3 verse 7. And this is very important. We'll talk about the corresponding actions of faith. Most times the first corresponding action of faith are the things you say. That is consistent with scripture. And sometimes the only corresponding action is what are the words of your mouth. Meaning the things you say to endorse what God has said. What was Mary's corresponding action? An angel of the Lord came and brought the word of the Lord to Mary. Mary, thou art highly favored. He gives us salutation and brought the message from God. He says, you are going to be found with a child of the Spirit who will be the Savior of his people. His name shall be Jesus. And he told him all this. He said, you're going to have a child. The man, the Savior, the Yeshua that the prophets prophesied about is going to come through you. That was the word of the Lord to change her life forever, isn't it? She was going to be the mother of the Savior. But let me ask you a question. What was her corresponding action? What was she supposed to do to show that she was in faith? Talk to me, somebody. She just endorsed it with her mouth. Be it unto me according to your words. That was when she conceived. Can you see? The only corresponding action in that case were the words of her mouth. The endorsement or the things that God has said. I'm trying to prove to you that word is not cheap. Even in the arena of faith, in the school of faith, the use of your tongue is important. Talk is not cheap. It's empty talk that is cheap. We take by saying. We take by saying. Be it unto me according to thy words. Be it unto thy handmaid according to thy words. And that was it. That was it. That was it. It showed she was in faith. No, what else was she supposed to do? She wasn't told, okay, go and lie down somehow, go and climb tree, then you shall be pregnant. No, a word was brought. And the first and only corresponding action of that word was saying. Meaning, she took that promise. She took that prophetic word, made it hers. How? By seeing. She said something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just wanted to give you that bonus from last week. Glory to God. We spoke already extensively about prophecy. Prophecy, I believe we prophesied a little bit. Last week Sunday, did we prophesy? Are you sure? Did we prophesy? Yes, we did. Glory to God forevermore. All right, so we'll move to number three. Prevailing prayer. Oh God. Prevailing prayer. How to gather. Number one, the communion table. Number two, your words and the pictures in your heart. Number three, prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. Now, in this point, you'll make a connection between prayer and receiving God's best for your life, which is gathering. And then we'll also demystify the concept of prayer. And number three, release the anointing, the spirit of prayer, what we call the spirit of prayer, as you listen and as you hear. Very important. I want to make a connection between prayer and receiving God's best. And then demystify the concept of prayer. You know why? We are coming from all kinds of places. Some of us grew up in certain places where the picture of prayer we have is a picture of burden, the picture of something that is not pleasant, the picture of something that doesn't yield anything. If some of you grew up seeing your parents pray without answers, they were praying and praying, but you couldn't see the answers. Somehow in your heart you respected God, but somewhere in your heart you felt, Lord, there are questions you've not answered me. I've seen my parents pray and pray. You're asking those questions in your heart. Where are the answers to these prayers? And whether you like it or not, if you don't hear the right teachings about prayer, that is going to create strongholds, mental blockages. And then, you know what is likely going to happen? You repeat a circle. You will think prayer really doesn't work. We just say it to please God. We just say it to appease our religious conscience. As part of the many things we are supposed to do to have our heart desires. And when you are in that position, you are in a very terrible place. This is why we need to demystify the concept of prayer by the basic things we say. God did not tell us to pray if he wasn't going to answer it. Meaning we can have 100% answered prayers. That's a bold statement, right? 100% answered prayers. We can have our prayers answered 100%. All the time. Glory to God. All the time. Somebody said, is that possible? Yes. Or there are those who grew up in places where when you mention prayer, it's stress. I say prayer again, your heart will just cut. I say, can we pray? Maybe because I wake you up every morning to pray when the sleep was sweetest. And you felt prayer is always against your pleasure. You see pictures of stress and discontinuity of pleasure when we talk about prayer. We demystify that. Glory to God. What is prayer? Prayer is primarily communication with God on the grounds of his word. Prayer is primarily communicating with God or interacting with the spirit realm on the basis of God's word. Basically, that's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. I will just highlight a few things. Because teaching about prayer in service is serious. Amen. And I'll bring the context. Prayer is not difficult. It's talking with God on the ground of his word. Meaning prayer is most productive when you have an idea of who God is, what he has done, what he is doing. And then lastly, of who he says or who he has said you are. Are you listening? So prayer becomes fruitful when you know God, you know who he is, his nature, his character, what he has done, what he says you can do, who he says you are. Those basic things. Why? Remember I said on the ground of his word. Meaning without the word of God, prayer is empty religion. Why? Through the word of God, you understand the rules that govern prayer. You understand why God should hear you and how God answers your prayer. Very important. Do you know how many people have died sick? Who didn't need to die sick? Because they didn't know the will of God concerning healing. Not because they didn't pray. They went to God praying about healing and praying about it the wrong way. And how about those who are still alive but sick and dying? They are praying every day but praying wrongly. They are praying for healing but praying wrongly. Some of them sleep with Bibles on their pillows. But there are people that have died with their heads on the Bible on the pillow. And their lives left. Why? Why is it so? They are not aware of what God has said in that book. So their prayer life is ineffective. Am I talking to someone this morning? The prophet said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Meaning we can't guarantee you answers when you go to pray without the word. Glory to God. That's just to lay the foundation. Or prayer. People pray. Many people pray. Many Christians pray. But many people are not effective. And this is why I'm saying these things. Attention to God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. And my words abide in you, you shall ask. You let the word abide in you, it will move you to pray. And when you pray with the word abiding in you, you have answers to the prayer. Are you seeing that? Remember, I always tell you that prayer is a legal term. Prayer is a very legal term. It's not a religious term. Is a legal term. Primarily a legal term. Meaning appearing before a court, presenting a case and winning a case. Basically, that's what prayer is. That's what prayer is about. Hallelujah. As believers, we do not pray attempting to bombard the gates of heaven. For God to open the gate is not willing to open. No. Simply put, our prayers is not to overcome God's unwillingness. No. But to position ourselves to receive what he has made available. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right. So, having laid these few foundations, let's talk about prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. What is prevailing prayer? Quickly, first. Now, don't forget we are talking about gathering the harvest or taking the inheritance. And we are talking about prevailing prayer. How can a believer through prayer get a hold of what God has given him? First Kings chapter 18. Give me verse 1, then jump to verse 41 to 46. First Kings chapter 18. I want you to note something in these verses of scripture. Amazing. And it came to pass after many days. You remember the background. The prophet Elijah had prayed and there was no rain. You know, he came before Ahab and declared that there shall be no rain, nor dew except at his word. You see, when you read it from 1 Kings, you think he just did it. Over in the book of James, you see what he did before he made that declaration. Because James chapter 5 tells us that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed prayer. That is the expression in the Greek. He prayed prayer. He prayed earnestly that it should not rain. And it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. So we saw that before the rain was stopped, he prayed earnestly. Over in the New Testament. But in 1 Kings, he just appeared. Chapter 17. Elijah The Tishbite. Man of God says Tishbite. Touch me, I bite you. Elijah the Tishbite. He appeared and said, there shall not be rain and all that. And then suddenly again, the Lord spoke to him. I want you to notice this. A lot of you have never seen this. You know, we just read from verse 43, how he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And then he still went to pray about the sound. That alone, there's a lesson. Okay, we can hear something in your spirit and go to pray. But it's beyond that. Look at this. God spoke to him that it was going to rain. If you will catch this, you'll just be dictating your experiences. You say in 3 months, this should happen. In 6 months, this should happen. In the next 1 year, this should happen. And you will see it happen because you know what to do. Look at this. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord, the word of who? Came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. My goodness. Show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain upon the earth. Do you know what many Christians will do? Appear before Ahab and do whatever they want to do. And say, Lord, you say it's going to rain. Let it rain. And go. And watch and watch. And no rain. Listen, oh, let me tell you. I know this is Sunday service, so I have to teach this thing. If you are going to get into that glorious inheritance, fulfill and become everything. You know, we have been saying here that we are all in full-time ministry, remember? Oh, are you guys here? Talk now. We are all in full-time ministry, two of us. Every Christian is in ministry. And we have said that that understanding will help you know that, look, your spiritual preparation as a man in full-time ministry, as a lady in full-time ministry, though not on the pulpit, will be as serious as the one on the pulpit. So when we say, these teachings are not for congregation, let's talk about it only at leaders' meeting, will not help you. Will not help you. You know why you live? You live in a dispensation of Moses, eating manna and quails from heaven. But what God is doing is telling you, cross over to the Joshua's generation. In the dispensation of Joshua, the Bible says manna ceased. Why? Because men were possessing the land. Men were possessing the land. And listen, there's a posture of revelation for possessing the land. This is why I have to teach this. Prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. Listen, one of the cardinal signs of a move and a revival that we'll talk about is that people in the pew will begin to produce results in prayer. Outstanding results in prayer. Did you hear what I said? People in the pew, meaning people in the marketplace, not just those on the pulpit, will begin to produce supernatural results. Results in their workplace, results in their neighborhoods, results in their businesses that only the supernatural power of God can explain. That is a mark of a true revival. They can say things like, okay, while pastor was teaching, there was a spark in my heart. This word came to me, but I went home to do something about the word. While pastor was teaching, while I was listening to pastor's message, there was a quickening. This word came to me, but what did you do with the word? They can say things like that, but listen, not just, they won't just say, oh, this word came to me. They will show the results they produced from that encounter. Are you listening to me? They will tell you about the manifestations of the Spirit. They saw at work. They saw at business place. They saw on the street. They saw in the neighborhood. Things about their businesses that only the supernatural can explain. Things about their career that only the supernatural can explain. Somebody listening to me this morning. Things about their family life, their life that and affairs that only the supernatural can explain. Prevailing prayer. So we see that God gave a word. Go and show and I will send rain. Alright, go to 41 now. And I will send rain. Dear Lord Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. Read the next line for me. 1, 2, go. For I hear the sound, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He told Elijah, go, eat and drink. Now, what this declaration, is it consistent with the word God spoke to him in verse 1? True or false? True. We can confidently say that what he said was consistent, what God told him. I hear the sound of abundance of rain, giving voice to what God told him. Next verse, 42. Look at this. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. By now you know that this 18 is a comparison between the system of the world, Babylon, Ahab, Babylon, and God's system. Are you aware? Because by the time we get to the last verse, you see there how that the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He ran and overtook Ahab, who was on a chariot. He had a vehicle. That's Babylon. But by the hand of the Lord, we are overtaking Babylon and their inventions. Oh, somebody did not hear that. We begin to generate models, business models, fashion models, do you understand? Engineering models, IT models that they can't explain with the laws they've been taught. Oh, I thought I was going to get an amen at that. That's overtaking the chariot of Ahab. That's by the way. Look at this. Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Put it up. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Have you tried this before? This is prayer posture. This is prayer posture. And said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he ain't seven times. Bible scholars have told us that this is 7 hours. He told him to go after each hour. Meaning he was praying for 7 hours. After hour one, he said, go and check. Is there anything? There's nothing. He continued. Hour two, he sent. Hour three, hour six, he said, go and check. Is there a change yet? There's nothing. And then the seventh hour, he said, I see a sign. Higher. I see a sign like the size of a man's fist. Nothing serious. But as a man of the spirit, he knew that was the answer. And the moment that had happened, you know, prevailing prayer is that prayer that after praying, the body turns to joy. Look at this. It came to pass, they said, behold, there arised a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto him, prepare that chariot, get it down, so that the rain doesn't stop you. The cloud had not formed. I will explain the dynamics of all this. Next verse. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Somebody may say, yeah, but he said he cast himself down. Did he say he prayed? Read James chapter 5, okay? That's why I quoted it for you. He said he prayed again. So that posture for 7 hours was prayer. And this is what we call prevailing prayer. Let's read this last verse before we go. And the hand was on Elijah. And he gathered up his loins. My God. My God. My God. Write this down. One major secret to speed in life is prevailing prayer. Major secret. Major secret. To speed in life and destiny is prevailing prayer. What do we mean by prevailing prayer? Write these three things down. Prevailing prayer means praying until thus saith the Lord. Write it down. Praying until thus saith the Lord.
There are believers that go to pray with burden. They go to pray with questions. They go to pray requiring to hear from God or requiring a shift. And they pray because their heart is burning. They just say, Father, thank you. I think you have answered. No. No. You have not prevailed yet. Oh. You pray until thus saith the Lord. Meaning you pray until you hear the voice of the Lord. Until God speaks to you. Until the picture is clear. You pray until the answer is settled in your heart. That was what happened in 2 Corinthians chapter 20. We read it many weeks ago. When three nations came against Judah. And they began to pray. The Bible says the hand, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the guys there. It's something Zechariah, I believe. The son of Zechariah, something like that. Came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Ye children of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. He began to prophesy. The moment he did that, prayer had finished. Praise began. Action began. Do you understand? They prayed until they heard the voice of God. Listen. If you have not heard or seen. Let me tell you something very quickly. Just a side stuff. This will bless you with amateur. Let me tell you. Exploits on earth is tied to sound and sight. Never forget that. Exploit on earth is tied to sound and sight. Meaning you will hear something and you will see something. You will hear something and you will see something. You will hear something and you will see something. You see, most of us have used radio before. As you are tuning, you may be picking what they are saying from the station, but it may not be clear. Have you ever felt it? And then you tune until it is fine-tuned. And then you are hearing clearly what they are saying to the FM or the AM, the shortwave, and all that. And then you begin to hear. But you see, when your tuning whatever, your tuning knob was not fully aligned with the frequency, you were hearing something, but it wasn't clear. Prayer tunes our spirits to pick the sounds from heaven. Oh God. Prayer tunes our spirits. And then open our eyes to see clearly. So I said prevailing prayer means pray until thus hear the Lord. So it's not about the length of time. Let me say that. So it's not about the length of time, hours praying. It depends on what you are looking for. It depends. There's the asking dimension, there's the seeking dimension, there's a knocking dimension. They are not the same thing. All are types of prayer. It's a he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, find. He that knocks, to him the door shall be opened. Can you see? Different dimensions. Talking about prayer. So I say it's not about the length of time. But you see, these things come sometimes based on how developed you are in your sojourn with God. Meaning, if you have been engaging in prevailing prayer and getting things done, when you face situations, it's going to be a lot easier than the person that is just coming in. You understand? That's what I mean by it doesn't, and it also depends on what you are laying hold of. What you are laying hold of. You pray until thus saith the Lord. Until you hear, by all means. And the hearing may not be. Don't expect an audible voice. Expect an inward weakness, a certainty. Expect an inward voice. Do you understand? Expect a spiritual perception. Expect light to blow from God's word, to explode in your spirit. That's what we do see at the Lord. And sometimes it can comfort as prophecy. You are praying and praying, and then you see yourself prophesying with the anointing of God's spirit. That is the answer to your prayer. Start writing them down. Glory to God forevermore. That is the answer to your prayer. You pray until you don't see the Lord. That's prevailing prayer. Your brother has run away from home. You've not seen him. Or suddenly there's an affliction in the family. Somebody just, they say his mind is not steady. Something challenging happens. It's not, oh Lord, touch my brother. No. Let me tell you how to start. You start by gathering corresponding scriptures. And then separation is vital. Thank you. Separation is vital. And then you begin to speak in tongues. I'll get there. You begin to speak in tongues. Listen, it's difficult to engage in this kind of prayer without speaking in tongues. The Bible says, we know not what we should ask for as we ought. He said, but the Spirit helps our infirmity. The Spirit helps our weakness. Your flesh can be weak sometimes. Your mind, you talk about the limitation of your mind, the limitation of your understanding. You don't even know what you should ask for as you ought. Sometimes you don't know how. But when you allow the Holy Spirit coming to help you, and you see the beginning of that is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. When we pray in tongues, we encourage the ministry of the Spirit in our lives. Oh my goodness. Do you know the Holy Spirit has a ministry in your life? The Holy Spirit has a ministry in your personal life. The Holy Spirit has a ministry in your life. That was why God sent him. And when he carries out his ministry in your life, you become effective in carrying out his own ministry. Or the ministry of Jesus. When you pray in tongues, you encourage the ministry of the Spirit. Then you start speaking in tongues. And praying and praying and praying. You worship and pray. Your eyes are on those scriptures. Your eyes are on those words you have received. Your eyes are on the outcome that you desire. And you are praying and praying and praying. Jabalebaya tebalabosata. Man tebaligo bosuya tebalia konde kepa. You are praying and praying. You pray. Your heart is there. You don't. Such prayer, you switch off your phones. I'm talking about prevailing prayer. There's a burden. There's a pressure. There's a situation you want to change. There's something you want to see. How strong is your desire? Oh, let me ask you. Do you just want to go by as a Christian? Just want to pass by as Christian on earth? Is that what you want? You want to pass by? No way. No way. No way. If you want to leave a mark, you attend to what I'm saying. You will learn prevailing prayer. Phones are switched off. Laptops closed, except they are playing worship somewhere. And sometimes it gets serious. Even though I'm playing something, I turn it the other way. I don't want to see any screen. Shaka palabuso to kepaya. I don't want to see any screen. Just scriptures and pictures. And prayer. Am I talking to someone here? We're talking about prevailing prayer. These are your best things. Then you begin to pray. You begin to pray. You pray and pray and pray. You pray and pray and pray and pray. Well, you may have time allotted for the prayers. And you have some other things to do. If you pray and pray and the time is up and you have not heard, you pause. Go and come back. Then you continue from where you stopped. Are you listening? Then you begin to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And pray and pray and pray. Until you hear the voice of God. There's something about that voice coming to you. It will produce comfort. It will produce joy. It will produce certainty and conviction. Though nothing has changed on the outside, you will leave that place with convictions. Because listen, God cannot talk to you and you are not convinced. You talk to yourself. It wasn't God. It wasn't God. You heard something else. Probably you heard the preacher's voice. Oh, glory to God forevermore. I know somebody is getting blessed. Praying until you just hear the Lord. This is the key, oh. This is the key. You pray until you just hear the Lord. How about times like that to pray? And you know, when we say this, somebody say, ah, because you are pastor. No, that's what I'm saying. It's for everybody. You pray until you just hear the Lord. You pray, yeah, but I mean, I don't know how to pray for long. Then you don't have a burden. When he hooks you, you will pray. You will pray. The Bible says, is any afflicted, let him gist. Talk to me now. Let him gist. Let him pray. No, you are firstborn. You are 23. You are 22. Your family has been broke for years. Broke and broke and broke. And you have caught the gospel. What are you going to do about it? Things are not going well with your dad, your mom, your siblings. Are you going to look at it like that? Or you are going to say, I demand a change. You say, Lord, I demand a change in this house. And carry your Bible and bottles of water. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. With messages, send it things and leave the house. And go somewhere. Then you begin to petition. You begin to pray. I assure you, brothers and sisters, you will not live there without answers. No, you will not. You will lay hold. You will live with answers. Are you listening? You will live with answers. That's what we call prevailing prayer. You have to learn it now. We are young. Most of us here are 45 below. Most people here 45 below. Or let's say 40 below. There are those above that. But most people, you have to learn that now. Praying until thus saith the Lord. Number two, it means praying until the burden turns to joy. Prevailing prayer. It means praying until the burden turns to joy. Listen, if the burden has not turned to joy, I have not finished praying. Pause and continue. Pause and continue. Number three, it means praying until you know that 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 it is settled. Light explodes in your heart. It looks like the first one, right? But there's an assurance in your heart. Or like the old timers would say, you pray until there's a note of victory. Or better still, you pray until the heavens break. You pray until there's a note of victory. You know that's what the prophet saw there? What's the connection between a cloud as the size of a man's fist and saying, oh, it's over, and he stopped praying? Note of victory. The cloud, the size of a man's fist. Note of victory. Note of victory. You are sure. It's not in your head, though. Is in your spirit. Pastor, you say, how do I know this? You know it. If you have not known it, continue praying. That note of victory can come on the wings of prophecy, on the wings of the word that you received, on the wings of so much torrents of joy flowing out of your spirit. But you know that it is settled. You feel light. You come out, sorry there. You hold glory to God. Glory to God. And when such things happen, mark that day and the experience. Because that is what you hold on to until there's full manifestation. And then request turns to thanksgiving. Oh, Father, I thank you because on the 24th of May, when I was in your presence, you told me this. Therefore, I am healed. Therefore, I am fruitful. Therefore, this and this is so. In the name of Jesus. You carry it from there. And use it to... That side too is important of the equation. Glory to God forevermore. Are you learning something? Praying until you know. And no one know. Or praying until the heavens break. You can write as number four, praying until the heavens break. Let me give it to you, sister. Praying until there are literal moves of the spirit in your environment. Do you understand? Literal moves of the spirit. Movements. You pray. You know that's what we call push. Pray until something happens, right? I told you pain is not your enemy. When the pain comes, what do? You push. You ride it and birth that child. You pray until there are movements of the spirit. No. You are praying about financial breakthrough. Okay. You are giving, all, but you are spending time praying because you know this one is abnormal now for years. How can the whole family be like? And you are praying and praying. And you are praying and praying and you continue praying until you start receiving phone calls. Ah, Jane, how are you? I was thinking about you. There's this thing we need to supply in the office. Can you do it? You drop the phone and say, ah, yes, I can. I'll call you back. You drop the phone. Somebody just meanders to your house. Say, ah, ah. I know you are good at this from school. Oh. I've been looking for you. Just came to my mind. Say, let me come and see you. You see what my uncle wants to do. Can you come? Let's do it together. Two. In the evening, something outrageous still happens. You know, those are movements of the spirit. It's no more, it's not in the heart, it's outward. Sometimes prevailing prayer, you move, you pray until you see those things physically. Do you understand? You pray and pray and pray until you see those things. When you pray for the move of the spirit in the family, okay, for your brethren to catch fire and all that, you pray until they start, you see the fire. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let a desire be clear in your heart. In prevailing prayer, let the desire be clear. Mark 11, 23 and 24. He said, what you desire when you pray, there has to be a desire. There has to be a desire. Whatever you desire when you pray. Listen, don't subscribe to that religious crap that says, when you pray, for you to receive answer, you have to be sure if it is God's will. God works with your desires. You know how many people have been hung by that defect in belief system? And the quote, the only, let me tell you something. The only reference to that theology is 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, I believe. Let me tell you. Only. And listen, when there's only one verse of scripture saying something, what you think he's saying is not what he's saying. God has designed that scripture explains scripture. He said, none shall want her meat. It's after the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every matter be settled, established. Do you understand? So when there's an issue and people are making theology about it and it's just one scripture, most times it's not what you are thinking is saying is not what he's saying. You go and dig deep, you go and study again. You remember? He said, and if you know that the verse 14 talks about, if you ask anything according to his will. When you read the original Greek, he says, according to the manner of his will. So it is not a content will, it's a manner will. I'm talking this morning. Are you guys sleeping on me? It's not a content will, it's a manner will. The manner of asking. What is the manner of asking? Asking in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. So a desire is important. Be clear about what you want when you come to pray. Very important. In prevailing prayer. Let it be clear in your heart. Let it be clear in your heart. Let it be clear. The desire was clear. You remember when Anna was praying for a son? Amazing story in 1 Samuel. She was praying for a son. She was so burdened until she looked like she was drunk. You hear what Eli say? He said, oh, these women, you will not stop drinking in church. You will not stop drinking. I told you to stop drinking. Was she offended? Was she offended? He said, oh, my Lord, your handmaid is not drunk. She's just pouring out her heart. And what did Eli say? He said, the Lord grant you your petition. And she believed. I should believe. Some of you did not get what I just said. And she believed. She knew exactly what she wanted. And she got it. And she got it. Be specific. Alright, be specific. And sometimes you can make pledges in prevailing prayer. It's powerful. Time enough for me to show you the scriptures today. You can make vows and pledges. You see, when you have a strong desire to get something done and you are praying about it, most times it's God moving on you to better his purposes. I've taught you that. So be specific. Be specific. Be hungry. Be hungry. Let your heart go out. Let your heart go out. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. The next thing is to check your love walk. Verse 25 says, if you come praying and you remember you have aught against someone, go and settle with them, come back. You know what he's saying? Your love walk. Do you know your love walk can hinder your prayer life? So in prevailing prayer, you check your love walk. You are praying and praying, you check your love walk. Listen, train yourself to a point where you don't have time for offense. You don't have time for offense. No time to be offended. You live beyond the realm of offense. You don't condescend to the level of carnal men. You live beyond offenses. Little thing you're offended. Little thing you're angry. Nobody is perfect in your eyes. Everybody has issues. Work on your love walk. Have you trained your eyes to see the best in people? Don't just say in your heart. Talk about them to people. When you sit conversing with the people that are closest to you, do the best about people come out of your mouth? Or is only their errors you present? Check your love walk. Fault finding. What's the time you sat down in discussion with the people you talk with the most and you are painting the correct picture of people? This sister, this man, this brother, this elder, and you are saying, this isn't about him. He has this. And you are saying it from a heart that celebrates. Listen, if you don't have a heart that celebrates the success and the lifting of others, you can never go faster. You be living with burden. Burden. You must have a heart that genuinely celebrates the progress of others and the good of others. Genuinely. You are talking about it, you are happy. Something is not biting you inside. Are you following? Your love walk. Your love walk. Your love walk. As you get engaged in praying to get answers, your love walk is first internal, then external. Do you know the first indicator of your spiritual growth is your love walk? First authentic indicator of your spiritual growth is your love walk. Hallelujah. So check your love walk. The next thing, I started talking about it earlier, and that's praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, I'll end on that. Praying abundantly in tongues. Praying abundantly in the Spirit. Praying abundantly in the Spirit. Remember, I told you that when you pray abundantly in tongues, you encourage the ministry of the Spirit in your life. You encourage the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life and in your affairs. Pray in tongues. Let your appetite for prayer be large. Let the room in your heart for praying in tongues be big. You are driving, you are praying in other tongues. You are bathing, you are praying in other tongues. You are reading, you are praying in other tongues. Walking down the road, the street, you are praying in other tongues. Under your breath. In the office, there is spare time, you are not attending to clients or customers, you are praying in other tongues. Not shouting and disturbing everybody. That's what I'm talking about. You should know where there are people and when to reduce the tone of your voice. If not, that's empty religion. But you are praying. Rabaya. People just hear. They are wondering, what is happening? They are wondering in 5 minutes that we have to live like that. Let me tell you something. You are not going to get less busy. Did you hear what I said? You know, most of us are young. We think, I'm busy now. Later, I'll have more time. It's a lie. Success comes with demands. Are you aware? You will learn how to pray on the go. and how to have burdens in your heart and pray them off from day to day while you are still doing your work. You may have 30 minutes of break, but before the break, your spirit was charged. You know why? You were praying under your breath in tongues. You were talking to the Holy Spirit. Those scriptures were going on. I know what I'm talking to you about. I know. When I talk about hours of separating yourself and you are praying and you are praying until you don't see the Lord, I know. You know, sometimes we don't say it too much so that people don't get discouraged. Labor cover. And sometimes we say some so that you can get stirred. We can be encouraged. Our students started praying for hours. Do you understand? And would tell, you know, I've served in fellowships on campus. Even before I started ministry on campus, I served in fellowship. And so when we hand over to people and then the junior ones call us to talk to them, there's something I always tell them. I said, listen, you are the president of this fellowship. Once you hand over, two things can happen. You either become irrelevant or gone. Or stay relevant and consistent. And there are two things that will make you stay relevant and consistent. Prayer and the word. You know, there's the president. I say, okay, this is NIFES president. This is CASO president. This is NCMDS president. And secretary after the prayer. And oh my goodness. It's not, you know, the people just live administratively. And I talk to them, you don't live administratively. You make so much investment in your spirit that 10 years after school, people still know. When they meet you, they know that the fire now is more than it was then. Are you listening to me? And that investment is done in the place of prayer. It's done in the place of prayer. Listen, impact is spiritual. Impact is completely spiritual. You cannot make lasting impact without being a friend of the Spirit. And you cannot be a friend of the Spirit if you are not giving to praying consistently. I'm not talking about religious prayer. Fellowship. Ragabala gebogo soshoto kepa. Oh, there are times and times again. I'll be in ward rounds, in consultant ward rounds. That's the head, the professor is around. And we are following them. The other doctors are following. The medical students are following. And the power of God will come upon me. Oh, that anointing of God's Spirit. Like I want to explode. And I will just have to find myself out of that place. Because I will shout. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't know what next is going to happen. I don't know if you understand. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. That sometimes the burden, it just overwhelms you. It's the anointing from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Probably because before you came to school, you have prayed 7 hours of tongues. And then you came into the class. What they are talking sounds like noise. It sounds like joke. Glory to God forevermore. And then you come there with the glory. You come there with the glory. People that don't know you from anywhere, they just look at you and they say, Pastor. They didn't know why they said it. We're in lecture one, they were doing blog posting. And something happened. And the lecturer looked at you and said, ah, Pastor. I don't think he knew me from anywhere. He said, ah, Pastor, you are pastor. He jokingly said, then if you are pastor, let the light come out. Let the lights come out so that we can draw a projection. In less than 5 minutes, the light came back. Oh, hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? When you know this life, nobody can take anything from you. You know, there are people that have been crippled because somebody borrowed money from them and has not paid back. That is for children. That is not for the man or woman of the spirit. I don't care what anybody is owing you. I don't care what the company has not yet paid you. That is not your life. That is not your source. You will get into the engine room of the spirit and create a new experience. Until you begin to break upon the institution like a rushing mighty wind. Am I talking to someone? Pray abundantly in tongues. Learn to pray in the spirit. Morning, noon, and night. Learn to pray in the spirit. Learn to have special time to pray in tongues. He said, do I understand what I'm saying? You don't need to understand what you're saying. The Bible says, when I pray in unknown tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. But my spirit is praying. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man. Does not speak to man, but to God. He said, for no man understands him, how be it in the spirit. Meaning the fastest way to get into the spirit is by speaking in tongues. He said, how be it in the spirit. Meaning when you start speaking in tongues, you enter into the spirit. You arrange things that your mind does not know. This is why he says the spirit helps us. Helps our infirmity. Helps our infirmity. Be a man of the spirit. Be a woman of the spirit. And that doesn't mean you should be spooky. That doesn't mean you should be goofy. That doesn't mean you should be... Do you understand? The spirit has class. Are you aware? The Holy Spirit is classy. It has class. So say, be a woman of the spirit. Someone say, ah, I should stop doing makeup. I should stop dressing well. No. I should stop looking nice. No. The spirit has class. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit is not what some people have painted him to be. Looking funny and say it's because of the spirit. The Holy Spirit has class. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Be a man of the Spirit. Be a woman of the Spirit. The Bible talks about doing this in season and out of season. Meaning when there is pressure on your life, do it. When there is no pressure, it's as though everything is looking okay, do it. You create time to pray extensively in tongues. To pray in the Spirit. Monda kebala korabate kosa ma patoke poshkata. Oh, we have said it here and we have done it here and there. That counseling now, people come for counseling and they're asking funny questions. When they spend 2 hours to pray here, they have the answer. So just 2 hours. 2 hours. Just go and pray. Go to Overflow and pray for 2 hours. They'll come back with things written down, which is the answer to their questions. Can you see that? Why? The counselor lives on the inside. The comforter. Do you understand? Hey, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He says, I will pray the Father and he shall send you Allos Paracletus. Another comforter. Another of the same kind. Who shall abide with you forever. I said, you encourage the ministry of the spirits. You can't be confused. No. Take your time out. You pray in the spirit. Mongre bakisa, ma pola teba labasaya. And you know, the more you pray in the spirit, the more your vocabulary in the spirit is expanded. Enlarged. Enlarged. You know, there are spiritual vocabularies. There are. Maybe when you started speaking in tongues, you was monotonous. Rabababa, rabababa, rababa. Keep on doing it. Keep on having sessions with the Holy Ghost. Your vocabulary will be enlarged. You start writing stories in tongues. Is somebody listening to me? Like you are writing books in tongues. Is somebody listening? Making sentences. Sometimes you are speaking about things concerning the body in the city. You know these things by the Spirit. As you yield yourself. Do you know as you pray in tongues, sometimes you are interceding without knowing. Praying for people you know and people you don't know. Praying for things you know and things you don't know. Mande balabaya, kele bones kata, lepora bashata kabalabaya labaya. Don't pray surface tongues. You pray until it enters your heart. You pray until you feel fire in your bones. You pray until lalebaya, until you feel that anointing. And then you start prophesying. You know, you feel that anointing and you do not despise it. You begin to say, Jesus, this is the anointing. Oh, you say, Jesus, this is the anointing Paul felt. This is the anointing Peter felt. This is the anointing that you felt. Therefore, in the name of Jesus,
I am the light of my world. In the name of Jesus, I pierce through. In the name of Jesus, I am unstoppable. In the name of Jesus, I am a helper to nations. In the name of Jesus, the pleasure of the Lord prospers in my hands. In the name of Jesus, I will not be useless. I will not be stupid. I will not be small.
Yes,
I will not be down. I will not be defeated. In the name of Jesus, I rise like an edifice. Higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
can you shout amen? Let me tell you something. One major tool we have been given to create highways in the spirits and to subdue this generation is tongues. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Listen to me. We have heard preachers say, tongues is the making of my ministry. We heard John G. Lake say, tongues is the making of my ministry. But I announce to you this morning, we are in the generation where businessmen, career people, who am I talking? People in the marketplace, not just for preachers. In the next 5 years, you can say, tongues is the making of my business. Tongues is the making of my career.
Yes, sir.
Tongues,
yes,
is the making.
Yes,
my professional
glory. Yes, sir.
Rise to your feet and pray in the spirit. I am giving to
speak in tongues. Don't feel bad. Why? The Holy Spirit is here and is about to envelop you right where you are. I want your heart to go out in hunger and in faith. You say, how do I receive? By faith. You don't need to feel energy. No, by faith. Just the way you got born again. Simple faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and declaring that his Lord is the same thing. We are faith. Let your faith go out. But I know God is touching some people. Now the anointing will come upon you. You will feel that language, that utterance in your belly. What do you do to it? You let it out. You let it out. Some of you, as you are praying, your eyes will be open to see visions. That's number one. Number two, do you know why we pray out loud? Sometimes our minds attempt to play games on us. I call it shouting your mind down. Pray your mind down. Are you listening? That's why you pray. You pray loud. You pray so that you can hear yourself. Many things are going on in your mind. Do you know that? Many things are going on in your mind. But when Asheba Lakabaya, in the next 3 minutes, you will pray loud and fast in tongues. And you will open your eyes to see visions. Visions of your business. I told you, we are that generation that can say, tongues
Speaking in tongues is the making of my business. Is the making of my profession. Is the making of my career.
Father, we thank you. There's fire burning here. There's fire burning here. There's a baptism going on. Lift your hands up. Say, Lord, I receive. I receive fresh grace for preventing prayer.
Jesus, the Lord's right hand is upon you. I said, the Lord's right hand is upon you. The Lord's right hand is strong and mighty upon you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You can drop your hands, bow your heads, everyone. Close your eyes. If you are here this morning and you have not given your heart to the Lord, you are not born again. I want to give you the privacy of these moments. You are not born again. You've not given your heart to the Lord. I want to give you the privacy of this moment. There's no other time than now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Today is the day you have. Right where you are, saying, Pastor, pray for me. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus died for you publicly. He wasn't ashamed of you. Right where you are, can you lift your hand and I'll pray for you. You say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to the Lord. Just raise your hand where you are. And I'll pray for you. We all love you here. It's not to display you as a worst sinner, but it's for the salvation of your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right where you are, if you are raising it, raise it high so that I can see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. It's today, not tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.
You have just listened to Pastor Erasmus Amewel, the senior pastor of the Embassy of Heaven. For more messages and information, log on to our website www.theembassyofheaven.org. Stay blessed.